Right, hello and welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting action. The latest from Cardiff is 7 points to 33 in England's favour over the Welsh, earning the course getting the win to keep their slim hopes of winning the Six Nations alive against Italy earlier today. Cameron Hill was there for us in Stadio Olimpico.
Full-time at Stadio Olimpico, it's finished. Italy 17, Ireland 22. The men in green getting the required results to keep their Six Nations title hopes alive. But after last weekend's defeat at home to France, a confidence-restoring performance this was not. The Azzurri made the breakthrough on 12 minutes. A lovely move out wide, allowing Monte Ioane run onto a grubber kick to score in the corner. 12 minutes later, a nice move off the scrum saw Hugo Keenan get on the score sheet for the visitors. Tommaso Allan got a penalty 7 minutes from the break, but the hosts were reduced to 14 men after Michaela Lamaro was shown a yellow. Dan Sheehan scored off the back of a maul just before half time and repeated the trick 7 minutes into the second half to make it Ireland 17, Italy 10. Seconds before Lamaro returned from the sin bin, Ross Vincent made head-on-head contact with Keenan in the tackle. That went to bunker review and was upgraded to a 20-minute red. A moment of magic secured the bonus point. Jack Crowley got every inch out of a cross-field kick. Mac Hansen rose high to tap it back inside for Dan Sheehan, who picked up a hat-trick. Stephen Varney's try brought the hosts back to within a score, 22 points to 17. The visitors did hold on for the win, which puts them on top of the standings ahead of Wales versus England in Cardiff and France against Scotland in Paris. It's made for a tense few hours here in Rome, where it's finished Italy 17, Ireland 22.
From rugby to GAA now, and maybe one team on the slide is the Irish rugby team, but one team hopefully on the rise once more is the Cork Hurlers. I caught up with Matthew Hurley earlier today to discuss the state of play in Cork GAA with both the big and small ball. Enjoy. We're delighted to be joined by Matthew Hurley of Southern Star. Matthew, how are you getting on?
Yeah, all good, Dan. Can't complain. The sun's out right now, and the GAA's coming into full real good season now. The championships over the horizon as well. And the Cork Hurlers seem to be going well at the moment. Maybe not so much the footballers, but I'm just looking forward to getting into the chat, really.
Yeah, look, I mean, the championship is always going to be fantastic no matter what, especially on the hurling side anyway, at least from a Cork point of view, you'll hope. What have you made, as you've already alluded to anyway, of this Cork Hurling League campaign so far?
Slow start, I would say. Like the game against Limerick had the fire and thunder, obviously, in the game at Parky Keeve, but maybe not the performance that everybody was looking for. Like, it was low scores for play and all that, and even the tip game wasn't enough scores on the sheet. But in the last few games against Kilkenny, I thought the players fought to a man. It was a brilliant performance and obviously a lot of emotion with that occasion, with the passing of Ray Ryan, obviously condolences to the Ryan family once again. And it was a brilliant performance against Clare the last day. It was outstanding, like 6 goals to score against the All-Ireland champions. I know there is an argument that Clare probably weren't at their very, very best. And defensively, they were all over the place at times, but to be fair, Cork had to put the ball at the back of the net, and they did so. Like, Brian Hayes scoring a hat-trick is brilliant for his confidence. Dickie Dalton getting 2 goals as well, 2 goals and 6 points, which was an outstanding tally. I think 2-4 from play as well. Shane Barrett looked a threat all afternoon that day as well. You know, players coming onto the pitch, making their debuts and doing pretty well. Like Cormac O'Brien, I know he got a red card against Clare, but in the last few weeks, I've been really, really impressed with him. Daniel Hogan coming on and making his debut as well against Clare was good to see. Ethan Toomey, I know he played last year, but him shooting the lights out against Clare, scoring 3 points, was brilliant for his confidence as well. Obviously, Patrick Harkin coming back into the team and chipping in with a few scores. I think it's 16 points in the league so far. So it's all been positives, really, from a Cork Hurling point of view. Going into the Galway game now with a bit of confidence and a potential league final against possibly Tipperary, but the way things are looking at the moment. So yeah, it all looks good for the Cork Hurlers at the moment. But then again, a lot of people may argue the Munster Championship is the main kind of goal for the Cork Hurling team. But to get to a league final and potentially win it, like this, Cork haven't won a Hurling League title since, I think, 98 or 99. So for them potentially to win the Hurling League title this year would be brilliant for their confidence, just to get a trophy on the board. And you go back to Clare last year, yes, they won the All-Ireland, and a lot of people think about that in the history books. But many people may not remember that Clare actually won the league last year, and that gave them kind of the platform to push on and win the All-Ireland. So it could be the same for the Cork hurling team, but I don't think it's a slam dunk for the All-Ireland if they win the league title. But I do think that it would give Pat Ryan's team a lot of confidence if they do manage to win the league title.
Yeah, I think that piece of silverware would be crucial, to be quite honest, if you're going to go out and win in All-Ireland, as we've seen down the years with other teams, to be fair. Cork hurling seems in a very good place at the moment, apart from the fact we're down about four jerseys with all the other lads from other counties pulling them off us. But I think that's a good thing because, Matthew, I just get the sense that they're maybe not running scared is the correct term, but they're certainly very frightened of the Cork team this year. That the Cork team, you know, we've been known as speed merchants for the last couple of years now, but we just don't have the physicality to back it up. But this Cork team this year, there's a fire in that group that we have not seen since the last time we won in Ireland back in 2005. We're willing to go toe-to-toe with all of these teams, and they do not like it one bit. We're making some of their top players act out of character. You see Seamus Flanagan, what he did to Niall O'Leary down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. You see Davy Fitzgerald the last day. You see Adam Hogan all over Hoggy. There's a lot of teams that don't seem to be liking the fact that Cork are now fighting back for the first time in 20 years.
I suppose from a Cork hurling point of view, that is a good sign that they are fighting back, because a lot of people would have probably perceived the Cork hurling team as a bit too soft, like especially in maybe the Kieran Kingston years or any other years in terms of Cork management, maybe a bit of the John Moyler era as well. But what Pat, and you have to give Pat Ryan a lot of credit for this, what he has instilled into the Cork hurling team is, you know, a toughness. Teams don't like to play against us. Even when we went out in Munster in, I think it was 2023, like Cork were still very, very hard to play against. Like Tip would score a goal down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, Cork would bite back. Limerick would score three goals in the Gaelic grounds, Cork would still bite back. Like it was brilliant not necessarily brilliant performances, but brilliant platforms in terms of getting the best out of this group. And I think the main thing in 2024 that Cork really thrived on was big moments. And you look at it last year in the semi-final, Gallant shot, I think was a Hagerty, one of them players saved by Pat Collins. The ball then goes into Decky Dalton's hands and he pucks us over the bar from the halfway line. Like, those sorts of moments drive on this Cork team. And I think the more those that they get and the more confidence that they can get in beating sides like Clare last week, like drawing against Limerick and down in the park as well, I think that would give the Cork team a lot of confidence and fairness. And they look good in all aspects of the game so far. Maybe a slow start to the lead this year, but I have a feeling they're coming into form at the right time now, and it is a good sign for them to be a Cork hurling fan at this present moment in time. Obviously, there is the elephant in the room that Limerick will bite back once it comes to championship. They may not be excelling as much as they hoped in the league, but then again, they're playing most of their second team in the league, and once the first team players come back in, if they're available, of course, Limerick will still be a threat, so Pat Ryan will notice that, I'm sure. But it's all positives from a Cork hurling point of view at the moment, and I definitely agree with you. I do think it looks very, very good at the moment, and we look probably in the best shape that we have done over the last few years, specifically since we won the All-Ireland in 2005, even 2006 when we reached the final against Kilkenny. So yeah, it looks really, really good from a Cork hurling point of view at the moment. But they have to push it on, though. That's the challenge in terms of continuing this kind of form on into the Munster Championship.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. Great to get a win over Clare, especially in Ennis as well. I mean, that's going to be crucial, I think, coming into the Championship, especially to get the amount of goals we did, the six goals, as you mentioned. And I think this group learned from the All-Ireland last year. They learned you can kind of play into the dark arts a small bit. We were far too soft in that Ireland final, I think, due to the way it was ref, to be honest. Clare got away with absolute murder that day, and no one really discussed it or talked about it. Other way around, we'd hear them whinging till the cows come on. But anyway, this Cork group, who do you think is going to take it forward now? Because there's a serious, serious competition for places. You'd have to feel, of course, with Pádraig Power, who he was definitely on course, I believe, to get a starting place in this team. But we're getting to a stage now when, apart from two or three, maybe the two Tonys and Fitzgibbon, that there's no one there really that you'd say is a mainstay, you know, has a guaranteed spot in that team.
even when you look at the positions on the pitch where you would say that there would be a guaranteed spot in the team, like you look at goalkeeper, for example, Pat Collins did very well against Limerick last year and did very well in the All-Ireland series, hence why he was nominated for an All-Star initially. But like Breen Saunderson, I thought was excellent the other day. Like his puck outs were absolutely brilliant. He did his job in the net as well, and he has shown that form for Middleton in the club championship. So I do think like he's definitely going to be up for competition with Pat Collins in terms of the goalkeeping jersey. Into the back line, then you have Sean O'Donoghue, who, yes, he's been out in the first few league games, but against Clare, I thought he was very, very good. Coming back from injury, obviously, he did very well. In fairness, in the back line, Niall O'Leary has done really well in the first few games as well. Kieran Joyce was injured against Clare, but you have to say he's definitely a mainstay in the Cork team at this present moment in time. He's probably one of our best younger players coming through that kind of group of under 20 players that have excelled over the last few seasons. You even look at the number 7 position now. Like I could think of three off the top of my head now. Micheál Mullins, who's done really well in the first few rounds of the league. Cormac O'Brien, who did very well in the recent rounds of the league. And we're not forgetting as well Mark Coleman. Like I know he hasn't played in the first few rounds of the league, but like he has definitely earned his spot in the Cork team, judging what he's done over the last few seasons. And he hasn't put a foot wrong, really. So you have to take that into consideration as well. You look at the midfield as well, Eaton Toomey. I know he played wing forward the other day against Clare and did very well. He was absolutely brilliant, immense, as you said there. And I think that he could definitely do a job in midfield. Like, let's not forget, he was midfield in the Munster Championship for Cork up until that Tipperary game when he got an injury. Then Tim O'Mahony started to step in, and then he was pushed out of the team after that. But he is an excellent player for both his county, obviously, in Cork, and his club in St. Finbarr. So You can't really discount him. Brian Roach, even like in midfield over the last few seasons, he's done well when he's called upon. He did very well though the last day against Clare, scoring 2 points as well. So like he definitely can't be discounted either. You mentioned Fitzgibbon; that's an obvious slam dunk. He's definitely in the starting 15 by hook or by crook. Tim O'Mahony hasn't put a foot wrong over the last few weeks either. You didn't go into the half forward line. Like Dickie Dodson, obviously 2-6 the other day. You can't really complain about that. But then again, Robbie O'Flynn, like, where is he going to fit into this? He was playing full forward against Kilkenny. That was kind of an experiment. Maybe that's not his preferred position in many ways for the Cork senior hurling team. Where do you play him? Because he's been excellent over the last few seasons. Seamus Hartley has been really, really good as well. You didn't have Eaton Toomey, obviously more so a midfielder, but he did very well at the wing forward position. Would you argue Shane Barrett is definitely a slam dunk at centre forward? I certainly think he is, with the performances he's been giving over the last few weeks and the last few years, to be fair to him. Patrick Horgan, you can't discount him either. Alan Connolly didn't play against Clare, worth noting, and he's still a goal getter in this Cork team as well. Brian Hayes has been excellent over the last few seasons. So the competition for places in this team is absolutely immense. So I haven't even mentioned the likes of Jack O'Connor on the bench, who definitely adds a bit of speed to this Cork team, and he's added a toughness, especially from Sars's run in the All-Ireland. Like, he's been absolutely instrumental in that as well. Like, even looking at rolling down a few players that were on the panel against Clare that came on, like, yeah, Jack Callan has definitely put his hand up as well. You look at Brian Roach, obviously, Tim O'Mahony in midfield. The two Downies are definitely a must as well. I actually think, I forgot to mention this guy, Tommy O'Connell. I thought he was excellent against Clare the last day. I know he went off early because he was on a yellow card, and Pat Ryan didn't want to risk him getting a red card in the end. But I think for Middleton, for Cork, and for the Cork under-20s as well, I think he's been really, really good as well. So the competition for places, I think it's a headache for Pat Ryan to have, but it's a very good headache to have when you look at the players that are up for getting into the starting 15 of this team. It's a very, very competitive team to get into. And I think that's a good sign, because like if a player is having a bad day in the Munster Championship, say against Limerick or Clare in the heat of battle, another player can step up and come onto the pitch. Look, I think that's a good sign for Cork going forward in the Munster Championship this year. And yeah, I don't think we've had this kind of level of competition for years, Dan, which is a really, really good sign from a hurling point of view in the county.
How are you approaching the Galway game now next week? Like, it even starts, I guess, the conundrum with the goalkeeper. Is it Parr? Is it Breen? I'd say the full back line, to be fair, it's probably Niall, Owen and Sean. The half back line could be very interesting. Yeah, midfield are going to have Dara for sure, but who will you pair alongside him? like there's so many options all over the field, and then there's going to be a big one now, I think, come championship. Are you putting in Neil Healy there, who scored 1-5, are you putting on Seamus Harnedy? I guess you're a proven player. There's so many tough decisions for Pat Ryan to make.
Yeah, and you reminded me of there another player, Dan, to add to the conundrum in Turbot Healy from Liscoole. Like, he's been absolutely brilliant over the last few. Obviously missed the Clare League game the last day, but he's been brilliant, and he's been brilliant for his divisional side, Emo Kelly, as well in the club championship. So there is a conundrum there for Pat Ryan, without a doubt. I think, like, in goal, probably you still may stick with Brian Saunderson, and then in the Munster championship and potentially a league final after that, maybe review the situation after that. Do you pick Breen? Do you pick Pa? Like, either or, I think both of them are very, very good goalkeepers. The full back line, I'd agree with you, I'd probably keep the same as the Clare game. The half back line, Cormac O'Brien, as it stands, if I'm not mistaken, Dan, I think he's suspended for this game because of a straight red against Clare. So Do you put me all back at number 7? Probably. Tommy O'Connell, I don't think, has done anything wrong to lose his place at number 5. Then again, if Kieran Joyce is fit, you have to kind of put him in as well. So, yeah, Tim O'Mahony, I don't think he's put a foot wrong either. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how Pat does approach the Galway game in many ways, because there's a lot of competition for places. I'd say more or less keep the kind of same team as the Clare game. I know, like, it's kind of a lazy answer, but to score 620 against the All-Ireland champions in their own backyard and to change a whole host of names would probably make no sense in many ways. So I'd probably keep maybe the majority of the same team, but maybe obviously Micheál Mullins at number 7. But other than that, like, I'd probably keep the majority of the same team against Clare. Like, they haven't put a foot wrong, any of the players, in many ways over the last few weeks, not just in the Clare game. So yeah, I think I'd probably keep the nucleus of the same team that played against Clare the last day. I know it's a lazy answer, Dan, but I couldn't really give anything else considering the performance the players have given over the last few weeks.
Totally agree with you. Cork Hurling's in such a strong place at the moment, thanks to the players we have, and of course the incredible job that Pat Ryan is doing. Now we move over to the football. Things aren't maybe so rosy as in the garden, but are they ever, I suppose, really, unless you count 2010 maybe. But the new rules, Matthew, what have you made about them anyway? And what have you made about the rhetoric coming from managers, in my personal opinion, often for the sake of it, to hide some of their team's performances? What have you made about the making tweaks during the middle of a season?
Yeah, I honestly think, in regards to making the tweaks, that the FRC are listening to the fans and they're listening to the managers and they're listening to the players. Like, Jim Gavin and his team actually put up a forum online so players, managers, fans could actually voice their opinion. So I honestly do think, and I think it's important to stress this, Dan, as well, I do think that Jim Gavin and his crew are doing what's best for Gaelic football. Like, there was a clear problem with the 12 attackers v the 11 defenders. They fixed that now. Like, not necessarily the... And it doesn't necessarily mean the likes of Eton Rafferty of Armagh or Niall Morgan for Tyrone or any other goalkeeper to likes of Gallivant. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to stay in the goal. It means that an extra player has to be back there in terms of fourth defender if the goalkeeper decides to go up the field. So they could still go up the field. It just makes it a fair kind of a contest in terms of that. I do think in terms of the breach on the 3v3 or 4v3, whatever it is, in terms of that rule, I think that's a good thing to bring in as well, that the free is on the place where the infringement does take place. I think, like, going in front of the goal was maybe too harsh a punishment in many ways. So I think that's a good thing to come in. I think the hooter system, considering what happened between Westmeath and Meath over the last few weeks, I think that had to come in as well with the last play, in terms of the hooter goes off. It's up to the ref at his discretion in terms of last play. I think that's a good thing to come in. Obviously, we can't really make judgments down until we see the games in action. I know this evening Armagh are playing Kerry and Dublin are playing Galway. We'll see them in action once they throw in, but it should be very interesting to see that kind of a standpoint. But in terms of the managers kind of complaining about the decisions, genuinely, I think the only manager that has complained about the decisions and his side are doing well, or the rules and his side are doing well, is Robbie Brennan from Meath. Literally, that's the only manager that I could think off the top of my head. You look at maybe Armagh struggling a bit in Division 1 with Kieran McGeaney, Stephen Porter. I know he was on off the ball during the week, but Leitrim were struggling themselves, 0 wins out of a possible 6 games, which isn't really great either. Maybe they're kind of deflecting the blame that these sides aren't embracing the new rules, they aren't embracing attacking football in many ways. And that's what the FRC want to do. They want to bring in attacking football, because the game of Gaelic football was going stale, to say it among other things. Like, it has been going stale for so many seasons, though. Like, last year's All-Ireland final between Galway and Armagh was probably one of the most disappointing All-Ireland finals that I've ever watched. So you kind of have to improve the game some way. And the FRC have come in fairness to them, and they've changed they've brought in these rules, and they've kind of changed the game. In terms of last year in the Allianz League, like, the score would have been between two random teams, I think would have been 10 points to 1-9 or something like that. Now you have a situation where the score could be 119 to 217 or even more than that. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately it's a good thing for the game, but you still kind of have complaints on social media and still complaints from managers. There's obviously going to be teething problems. I think, honestly, you have to just give it time up until the end of the Allianz League, then review the situation then. But I think, honestly, the rules are working really, really well. You have some excellent games at Gaelic football, and I think they're here to stay, and it's just a good thing from a Gaelic football point of view to have these rules. It brings a freshness to the game. It brings kind of eyes to the game as well, like many not like many other seasons. Like, at this time of year, a lot of people would throw an eye, let's say, to the Six Nations or the end of the Premier League. But a lot of people are throwing an eye to Gaelic football now in terms of how these new rules work. And they are working at the moment. We're seeing higher scores. We're seeing some higher battles in terms of kickouts as well, which is an absolutely excellent move in terms of anything as well. So I think, honestly, it's a good thing that these new rules have come in. And the reason they are changing the mid-league campaign is to improve them even more, just for small tweaks, just to make the fans even more happy. But there's obviously going to be some minority, Dan, that aren't happy with the new rules in many ways.
Oh, sure. Complaining is the extra sport under the GAA umbrella, Matthew, as you well know anyway, especially if you have a look online. How do you think they've suited this Cork team, though? And look, it's just been a disappointing league campaign all round for this Cork team so far.
I would say it's been disappointing in the last two games. I think the first three games, there was positives to come out from the Cork football team. Like, against Meath, they looked to be embracing the new rules really, really well. They were kicking the ball into Chris Oak-Jones. And John Cleary mentioned in post-match interviews as well after the Meath game specifically that there was no sweepers there, so it was easy to kick the ball in many ways into Chris Ogan. That was playing to his strengths. They did the same against Westmeath, and they did the same against Down. And in the Down game, if you may remember, Dan, like, there was a decision in the game where Paul Walsh was harshly blown up for barging, and that led to Danny McGill's goal for down the other end. So I do think that was kind of a harsh decision as well. And Cork could have won us with a last-minute two-pointer free as well. So, like we could have been going into the games against Monaghan and Roscommon on 6 points. It could have been better than it was perceived, but that was the way the cookie crumbled. And against Monaghan, I don't think they were particularly too bad. I think on kickouts in terms of the 50-50s, I think they battered Monaghan in midfield personally. I think they were very, very good in terms of that. It was just the goals from Monaghan in the first half in particular that killed them off in that round four game. But then against Roscommon, there was kind of a thing that kind of seeped back into the team, which is not a good habit to have from a Cork football point of view, that there was hand passing for the Cork players from side to side. There was backwards passing as well. It was kind of the same things that happened last year with the old rules. And that was kind of the frustrating thing in terms of all aspects, Dan. And hopefully that will change once the low game comes. They had a training camp over in Portugal in recent weeks now. Hopefully that will re-energise the players in many ways going into this game against Roscommon, against Lough tomorrow. But there was three games in a row between the Westmeath game and the Roscommon game. Maybe that could have tired out the players, and maybe injuries kind of played a role into that as well, with the likes of Brian Hurley being out, Conor Corbett, Sean Meehan, Kevin O'Donovan, Sean Poulter got a bit of a knock as well. Luke Fahey's been out for the whole league campaign so far. So you have to take that into consideration. It's been a horrid look of injuries for John Cleary's side. But what's a must now tomorrow, Dan? I think it's a must win for the Cork footballers, putting it mildly. If they lose this, not just relegation to Division 3, but Talton Cup is definitely on the horizon, because you look at the state of affairs with the Talton Cup at the moment. Down are guaranteed a place in the Sam Maguire Cup because they won the Talton Cup last season, and Clare are on the other side of the Munster draw, and they only have to beat either Waterford or Tipperary to get to a Munster final, and hence after that the Sam Maguire Cup. So that's two sides below Cork, so that makes it even more crucial for this Cork team to get a win tomorrow in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And it's a vital game for them, and it's against a low team that has beaten Cork three times over the last five occasions. They are our bogey team in many ways. But then again, it's at home in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Cork have only played Louth once at home in Páirc Uí Chaoimh in the last five meetings, coincidentally winning that game 2-12 to 2-8 in 2022. So you'd hope that home comfort might be enough to push this Cork team over the line. And Louth have injury problems themselves, so we'll have to see how it all plays out. But you'd be hopeful for a Cork win tomorrow.
Lastly, just on the rhetoric about the team at the moment, and how, you know, people, if you look online, people are accusing it of being so stale. And O'Brien Hurley is back now, but it's on the bench. Is Cork football in a worrying position at the moment? Just as no, I guess, change coming into the team.
Maybe so. I do think there are some changes, and John Cleary was forced into some changes at the start of the league campaign, with the likes of Sean McDonald coming in, Neil Lorden coming in, Sean Brady from Ballygarvan coming into the team as well. He was kind of Sean Walsh as well from Mitchelstown. Like, you had these players coming in, and they were kind of thrown into the deep end because of the injuries that Cork got, in fairness to John Cleary there. So I suppose the disappointing thing in many ways is John has kind of kept with the same team from round one very much onwards after that. And that's even with the likes of Rory Dean coming back onto the bench, Brian Hurley coming back onto the bench, obviously Conor Callaghan coming in from Castlehaven as well, which is a huge coup to get. And he hasn't, I know he's played a few games coming on against Roscommon and Monaghan, but he hasn't started any games yet, and you hope there will be a late change for tomorrow as well. But yeah, it should be interesting to see if there's late changes on John Cleary's team now tomorrow, because with the new rules coming in, a goalkeeper can't, obviously, as I mentioned earlier on in the chat, it's up to the team themselves whether they bring the goalkeeper out or not. So I just wonder, will they bring in Micheál Martin back into goal now, a safer pair of hands possibly, in terms of not bringing out the goalkeeper and play it by ear then? Will Brian Hurley start? Will Conor Callaghan start? We'll have to see now tomorrow, but it should be very interesting to see the starting 15 from a Cork point of view, more or less. But yeah, I could see the arguments there, but I could see the arguments from Cleary himself as well, that like the hands are kind of tied behind his back, that there's so many players missing that he kind of has to keep with the same team. It's just the situation they're in at the moment. It's a tough situation to be in. I think the main thing for John now tomorrow is to get a win on the board against Louth. If they lose against Louth, the kind of complaints will rumble on into next week's game against Cavan. If they can win the game, maybe the weight will be brought off their shoulders just that tiny little bit. So I think the crucial thing for John, I think him and his management team and the whole team itself will be thinking the same thing. Win the game tomorrow. That's the be all and end all for this Cork team. If they can win tomorrow, maybe the complaints will be brushed aside just that little bit, and maybe they'll get a bit of breathing room, which they probably need in terms of a situation like this. Like, it's a pressure cooker situation now, the game against Louth, because if they lose this, like, Talton Cup could be a serious conversation here.
Well, Matthew Hurley, it's all in the melting pot for Cork football at the moment. Hopefully hurlers go a bit steadier, but thanks so much for joining us, journalist Matthew Hurley with the Southern Star. Appreciate it, mate.
Thanks very much, Dan.
All right, the ref's whistle has gone for halftime here on the Big Red Bench. Plenty of Cork sporting action to come in the second half, including hearing from City boss Tim Clancy. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour before I hand you over to Marty Guilfoyle. Cork City action to come as we hear from Cork City boss Tim Clancy and Shelburne boss Damien Duff after their draw in Tonka Park last night. But first to a bit of horse racing and a throwback to one of the greatest interviews of all time.
If this horse wins, let me tell you, we will wreck this shop. We will wreck him in first course if he wins. Please God, look, the whole lot is going for him, so hopefully, Kev, hopefully.
And of course, you had some celebrations inside in the parade ring after this horse won in Tipperary.
6.5 weeks, the man here, his wife left him over it. There was only one over it. She left him. But look, and Joey said to me, it was well worth the celebration, isn't it? So hopefully again to be more wives leaving them for this like.
So you obviously didn't come on for a couple of weeks, did you?
It's 3 weeks I can go on for no fucking.
3 weeks, huh?
3 weeks, yeah. I should forget me though for a finish.
She couldn't find you for
sure. Oh, I'll go again, no.
What happens tonight though?
If the horse wins, we'll go to Disneyland between some of your lives.
So. 4 black bags of clothing outside his door, there was.
And Josh, more to the point, lads, is this horse going to win today?
This horse is a certainty. Back in dead on now.
What has Charles told you about him?
Very little, though, Charles. Charles don't say too much, as you well know. He's a Sounds-a-bell, and the man is an absolute genius. I can assure you that. An absolute genius.
Win, lose, or draw, you're going to be celebrating your own party.
Tom McCauley, 6 day top of the zone. Call on and drink all of it.
Of course, Nasky.
Of course, Nasquith. The only place to go. Any party, I told you already, any function, wedding, 24th, 60th, 30th, any function you want, I'll do it for you.
And you gave us the phone number the last day.
I gave you phone numbers as well the last day. The amount of girls who texted me after that interview was unbelievable. I got no dinner, nothing out of it, no out of it, but you look. But I'm still single in there, girls, if any of you are looking.
You got no dinner and your wife left you for
3 weeks. We're all right again, dog, yeah.
And off to Disneyland as well, lads. Best of luck.
Well, we're going to hear from someone a bit more media trained now. That's jockey Mark Walsh, rider of Chitlam, Gold Cup winner. I know the way you're thinking.
So it's brilliant. Something you dream of as a kid when you want to be a jockey is winning the Gold Cup and the Grand National and things like that. So yeah, dream come true. Yeah. I had a great trip. They went a proper good gallop. I had a lovely position. Paul Townham was on me outside on galloping the champ. And I noticed him early on. He wasn't happy. I knew by his body language, he wasn't just happy with how galloping was travelling or jumping. So I thought if I got a clear round, I could have a little squeak.
What were you feeling turning in, Mark, when this galloping seems to be travelling when you're travelling just as strongly? When did you think, I've got it?
Yeah, I didn't want to take him on too early because we all know how he stays up the hill, but my lad just carried me there and winged the second last and went by him, so I just kept kicking because my lad stays all day as well.
You first rode him in a Cork maiden hurdle, this horse. Did you kind of stand out at the time?
Well, I didn't think he'd win a Gold Cup back then, to be honest with you. Yeah, but look, Gavin's done a savage job with him, and Keith Donoghue at home has done a brilliant job. He's done all the work with him, so a lot of credit has to go to Keith Donoghue.
What are you thinking this morning? Because you knew he stayed.
I knew he stayed. There was no pressure on me. All the pressure was on Paul, so I was just going to ride my race, and if it happened, if it didn't, so look, it happened, so I'm delighted. I have to thank JP for supplementing him as well. If he didn't supplement him, I wouldn't have a Gold Cup winner, so thanks to JP for that.
From horse racing to a bit of football now, and it was a huge, huge afternoon for Cork and Yall's Jake O'Brien, who got the equaliser for Everton against West Ham.
They've left it late, but it's Everton 1, West Ham 1, and the home side back on level terms, courtesy of Jake O'Brien. It came about after a shot came in from Chimisi that was saved by the goalkeeper. The ball was recycled to the right-hand side. The cross came in from Garnagay, and there was O'Brien to stoop and head home from 6 yards out. It's Everton 1, West Ham 1.
From one football to another now, and the Cork LGFA seniors take on Clare in the Lidl LGFA National League Division 2 in Ballyvonie next Sunday, March the 23rd, with a 2 p.m. throw-in. This will be the first time host club Naebe Vaughan hosts a competitive ladies football inter-county match, and it should make for a great occasion. The club's magnificent facilities, situated close to the Kerry border, look set to attract a huge attendance for the game. Cork needs the win to maintain their promotion push. Naebe Vaughan LGFA manager Noel McDonough, whose two daughters Amy and Lydia will line out alongside club mate Rosie Carkery for Cork on the big day, and they spoke to Joe McCarthy ahead of the big one.
Now, here on the Big Red Bench, we're delighted to be joined on the line by Noel McDonough, who is the Naebe Vaughan LGFA Intermediate Manager, and it is a very, very interesting time for that particular club, because coming up very, very soon on Sunday, March the 23rd, the Naebe Vaughan Club down in Ballyvonie will host a Lidl LGFA National League clash between Cork and Clare. Noel has a vested interest in this game, not just because he's Naebe Vaughan's manager, but because both of his daughters, Lydia and Amy McDonough, are part of the Cork senior setup. Noel, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are you?
Hello, Joe. How are you, Kiwi? All good here.
It's all good indeed. Talk to me about this fantastic occasion on the 23rd of March between Cork and Clare coming to Navarbon. I know you're not a native of that area, but you're heavily involved with the club for many years. But this is a fantastic day for the club to be bringing a Lidl Senior National Football League game there.
It is, of course. I mean, look, every club likes to show their facilities, and in fairness to Navarbon, is in the last number of years, they've upgraded their facilities to a great extent, and it's a showcase now for them, really, you know. And it'd be great for not knowing the local community to just go out and watch the senior ladies playing, but also the kids, you know. And even for ourselves in the club, if we're promoting football, it's a great way of doing it, you know. And the young ones come and see the senior girls playing in their local club, which is fantastic, you know. So hopefully it'll be a good day, and hopefully get the right results in the day, you know. And guaranteed there's going to be a big crowd there, you know.
Yes, you mentioned the fantastic facilities in the club down in Ballyverney. Beautiful stand, beautiful gym, changing rooms and meeting rooms as part of the complex there. Bringing Clare down there for a National League game, as you said, is going to be a lot of interest, but also locally for yourself, Noel, Lydia and Amy being part of the senior panel this year. I know how proud you are of that. But also for the locals and Roisin Corkery as well. Three Navarbon players on the senior panel this year will only add to the excitement.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah, you know, it's great for the girls to go down to the local club, and I would like to clean their own patch, you know, and show the talent that's their own. But, you know, it's fantastic, and, you know, it's great to see the board coming over and giving games like this out to clubs that can actually cater for them. And in fairness to Navarbon, you know, they're probably one of the first clubs that have gone down the road of one club, you know, and, you know, they're very positive towards the ladies in Navarbon, to be fair play. And, you know, we were in the new gym, and we get access to the gym same as the lads, so it's great. And, you know, that really encourages the girls to keep playing, stay at it, you know. And, you know, once they see that they're equal, you know, it's fantastic. And in terms of the club, you know, in any aspect of what we want from them in SNC, in fact, you know, this year we have a SNC coach brought on board now in the gym, and it's Ty Cockley is doing it for us, and, you know, it has been promoted well in the club, and it's fantastic to see.
Yeah, you mentioned that one club approach where the Camogie and the football and hurling and, of course, the LGFA come together under the one banner. It's clearly working, as you said, in Navarbon, not just this year officially, but over the last couple of years, you've certainly benefited from that as well, Noel, because for people who don't know, Navarbon won the 2022 County Junior A title and the Munster title and went all the way to the All-Ireland final. Hard to believe that was 2022. And since then, you've been in two intermediate county finals. So locally, the underage structure that the club has built over the years, you know, you're reaping benefits over the last couple of years, and you're only one step away from senior.
Yeah, it is, and it's, you know, even down to the underage in the club, you know, we've two girls in the Cork and 16s and A team, and one in the B team, and we have two more on the 14s, you know. So when you've got girls representing the club in a county level, you know, that really strengthens the base, and all the other girls really look up to it. And, you know, when they come back to the club, they bring a bit of, you know, there's a bit of life in the club, and, you know, they raise the standards and raise the bar for everybody, you know. So, and, you know, people really appreciate, you know, the effort that goes into playing with the county. But obviously the downside of that is we don't see a lot of them coming through the league, and we only get to see them in championship. But, you know, that's the downside. But, you know, we've a great panel of players, and we can fill the gaps, and, you know, they'll be back to us hopefully with a, you know, they'll do well this year, and they'll probably make the final stages of the league if they beat Clare on the 23rd. So, you know, it's all bode well. And in fairness to Joe Carroll, you know, he's a local guy as well, and he's doing very well with the team, and he's a great management team on board in this year. So, you know, hopefully success will come to Cork as well this year.
Indeed, we all hope that. And just from your own point of view, Noel, I know, like, you've had Lydia and Amy, and you've had Roisin Corkery as part of that team all the way up through the ranks. Are you a good person to watch them when they're in the Cork jersey, or are you able for that?
It's a bit more trickier than when they're with the club, you know, because you'd love to sometimes shout out something when they were Cork too, you know. But you know, look, it's great, and I mean, obviously it's great for us to be able to go to all the games, and you know, I have a great interest in myself and Kay. You know, we travel to all the games. We're going to Belfast now to begin, because they're both involved in the college finals. So, you know, it's a lot of travelling, you know, but it's really enjoyable, and you know, they've given great commitment to get as far as they have, you know. But you know, as I say, it's from the Bellevue side, it's great to see local girls doing well at county, you know. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, that Joe Callan or his team are, they're spreading their wings and looking all around the county for talent. And, you know, it's really been difficult for them, you know, so it's fantastic.
It certainly is. And we wish you and we wish Lydia, Amy and Rosha Corkery, all the three Naomh Avon representatives and everybody in the club down in Ballyvourney, we hope to be there on the day itself to witness the Lidl LGFA National Football League clash between Cork and Clare on Sunday, March 23rd in Ballyvourney, in the home of Naomh Avon. But for now, Noel McDonagh, thanks very much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench.
Looking forward to seeing you there, Joe.
You're also caught up with Joe Carroll.
Now on the Big Red Bench, next weekend is a very important one down in Ballyvourney, because the Naomh Avon club, the one club now, the GAA and LGFA club all joined together, are hosting a Lidl LGFA National Football League Division 2 clash between Cork and Clare with a 2 p.m. throw-in on Sunday the 23rd of March. Big, big day for Ballyvourney and that part of the world. Big day too for the Cork senior manager, Joe Carroll, who joins us on the line. Joe, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Thanks, Joe.
As I mentioned there, your second last league game in Division 2 of this year's Lidl LGFA National League. You currently sit second place, 3 points behind Galway at the top of the table. But your last home game, you're taking on the road to a place very, very close to your heart and very, very close to where you come from, I believe yourself, down in Ballyvourney. What's the thinking process behind this and taking the Clare game there, and a very, very big day for Naomh Avon?
Sure, look, it's a country venue, and we felt maybe that we might get a crowd there on the day, and they have a fabulous set up there, and they have a fine complex there and a fine pitch there. So we were hoping that we would get a crowd out to support us, because I suppose with all inter-county teams, they're finding it hard to get support on the day compared to other codes. So that's what we're trying to do, and hopefully we will, if we advertise it well, and that we will get a crowd there on the day.
I'm sure you will, Joe, because not too long ago, as you well know, Naomh Avon went all the way to an All-Ireland LGFA Junior Final, and their semi-final, which was played down in Ballyvourney, was in front of a huge attendance. I was lucky enough to be there. Fantastic atmosphere, and you'll be hoping for more of the same when Clare visit next Sunday.
Yeah, we would. Look, and it's on the Kerry border as well. Look, and there's fierce interest in football back that way, so we'd be hoping that we would get a lot of support on the day against Clare, who becoming, like, you know, they haven't had a great league campaign so far, but look, you can't know on the day, and we'll be preparing properly for it.
Yes, and from your own point of view, you mentioned Clare struggling at the bottom of the table. They've got 4 points from their 5 games, but you can't take them lightly, as you know well. Any Munster rival, an opportunity to take down Cork, especially in Division 2, even at this early stage of the year, they'll be relishing that opportunity, so you have to be on point and ready to go.
Yeah, we will, like, and, you know, we probably look at it as a game like this where we can confirm our status as the number 2 team in the group behind Galway, and it will be very important that we do prepare well for it, and we won't be taking Clare for granted. You know, we played Roscommon the last game and found out that Roscommon are quite a decent team, well able to play football. Any of the teams we played in Division 2 have all been able to play football, so you can't be coming not properly prepared for it on the day.
Where you are, 4 wins and 1 loss, and the only loss coming, a narrow loss as well, away to Galway, the league leaders at the moment at this stage of the year, considering the big turnover, considering it's a new management team, Joe, you must be pleasantly, though, I suppose, pleased to be sitting second in the table, especially after such an overhaul.
Yeah, and you see with the new management and everything, we feel we are making a bit of progress now as well, and playing with maybe a slightly different system than what we were playing with, Cork were playing with before, and we're getting there slowly but surely. It'll take a lot of time. There's still a lot of work to be done and so on, and we're having a look at a different share of players in each match as well, like, and we're finding things out about our team, and, you know, we're playing a few practice games as well there to get the others that don't play in the league games, and everybody seems quite happy.
Yeah, juggling that squad and getting the players in and getting them ample game time is never an easy thing to do, but you seem to have managed it. I know you've had a few injuries here and there as well, but on the whole, I think the newcomers have settled in quite well, or at least you've had a good chance to take a good look at them, which is really all you can ask for at this time of the year, Joe.
Yeah, it is all we can ask for at this time of the year, and they have given service commitment since we started the way back in whenever it was, December, there, the 1st of December, they've given fierce commitment, and you know, a lot of them have improved greatly, and they will improve even further as the year going on, and so on. Like, I suppose the lack of a second competition to all our level at ladies is a small bit of an issue. Like, in Camogie, there's an under-23 All-Ireland competition, and that's a big attraction, and there's no All-Ireland competition in ladies, it's a big attraction. But look, we're doing the best we can to try and keep the players interested in what we are doing,
in what we are doing as best we can.
And you're certainly doing a good job so far. As we speak and as we record this show, as ever, you're unbelievably busy because you're on the road to Belfast, to Queen's in Belfast, for the O'Connor Cup and a semi-final meeting for your own UCC taking on University of Galway. A lot of players from Cork and outside of Cork involved in this. Is this a nice distraction for you in the middle of all the intercounty? I know you want to keep your players fit, you don't want any injuries, but focusing on something different and away from your own point of view, away from the senior Cork setup, which engulfs all your time, I'd imagine, no bad thing to be doing, and always a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, it is a fantastic weekend, and I think the players look forward to it very much, and you know, it's there are some different counties playing together and they make great friends out of it, and you know, I suppose it is a bit of a distraction, all right, and it's even a distraction for board management because there's three that's involved with UCC and three involved with Cork, and it's also a distraction for the players in a way because they can just take a break from the league action, a smart bit, and just go in and enjoy themselves the weekend. And it's a heavy weekend. If you get win your match on Friday, you play again on the Saturday, so it's within 24 hours, and we have a big squad, so hopefully this. But that will get us through. We're going to be a stiff competition on the Friday against Galway because they're getting early on in the league and they're quite good. And they beat a very fancied University of Limerick team in the last match. So we hopefully will be well prepared.
I've no doubt that you will be well prepared with yourself in charge, Joe. We wish you and UCC all the very best in the O'Connor Cup over the coming weekend. We'll keep an eye on things on the big red bench, but also heading to Sunday the 23rd of March at 2 p.m. down in Ballyvourney. A fantastic day if you're a fan of ladies football or any sport. Definitely get along and support the Cork ladies footballers as they take on Clare in the Lidl LGFA National League Division 2 Football League. And a unique occasion and a fantastic day for Cork LGFA. We'll be promoting it heavily in the build up and we'll be there ourselves on the day in the big red bench as well. But until then, Cork senior manager Joe Carroll, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us here on the big red bench.
Thanks, manager.
In the rugby, the latest from Cardiff is Wales 14 points to England's 68, so the title hopes are still alive for the English, who are top of the Six Nations table now, with France Scotland getting underway at 8. And the latest from Turner's Cross in the women's Premier Division, Cork City are beating Sligo Rovers 4-0 at the moment, so good proceedings in Turner's Cross so far from a City point of view. And there was fairly decent proceedings in Talca Park last night. A City drew with Shells 1-1, a game City maybe could have won. Both sides would feel like maybe if they had the rub of the green, things could have gone differently. But anyway, enough from me. Let's hear from City boss Tim Clancy after the game.
Tim Clancy, Cork City head coach, joins us here at Talca Park. A rip-roaring second half, Tim. You're making your way back home to Cork with a precious point tonight, and you'll feel a well-earned point as well.
I think so, yeah. Look, I think on the balance of the game, I think if we had been ahead in the first half, possibly would have been... wouldn't mean to get against the run of it. I think there we were value for maybe a lead at half-time, and we wanted to start the second half well, and look, we got a goal after 5 minutes, and we knew there was going to be a lot of pressure in the second half, and I thought we defended excellently. They get the goal, and then I thought we defended the area really, really well. I know they had a couple taken off the line, but I still think we carried a threat as well, and we had a couple of good chances out of firing ourselves.
Two pleasing things, I suppose, about it. One, Rory gets the goal when he wasn't having an awful lot of opportunities in the game, so that's a positive. But also, as you say, the way your team stood up defensively to the inevitable onslaught that was going to come in the second half.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the standing up and defending and the work rate I thought in the first half, particularly with long spells in the game with really good patterns. We passed the ball really well, we broke lines with passes, and we carried a real threat with a few really good chances as well with Alex Nolan, Keats, Kit Nelson as well in particular, and the top boat wing backs were brilliant as well. But look, again, the last maybe 15-20 minutes, we defended really, really well. Had to withstand a lot of pressure, but I thought that we still carried that track going forward the other end. And look, it's probably a brilliant game of football to watch. It's not too good on the sideline when you're involved in it.
A lot less drama in many respects than some of your recent games, but this team is growing in confidence all the time, and you can see the squad developing the way that you hoped that it would when you assembled it as well.
Yeah, but look, I think you have to look at the squad as well. We have a tight squad, a lot of talented young players, but our whole bench tonight, we're 19 years of age and younger. We're Conor Brand, the sub keeper. We're missing maybe four or five players that would possibly be starting for us, and really, really big players for us. And Malik Drixdale, you have Carlos Sullivan, you have
Greg Bulger, you have Shawnee Maguire, you've Evan McLaughlin, Harry, you've Conor Drown, and so we're missing seven first team players. That gives us maybe more of a an experienced squad that when we are in games like that, we can turn around to the bench and we're not relying on young lads with little experience, but look, they're very, very talented young players, but we're hoping that we can get as many of the injured players back as soon as possible.
Finally, Tim, there's not some quality of bench or missing players that you've mentioned there, but you've no game now next week, of course, with the international break. Welcome from your point of view to have the opportunity to get some of those guys back when the league resumes.
Yeah, listen, we're hoping to have a couple back for Drogheda game after the break. And again, look, it is a lot of players missing, but the only game we've lost this season, we were down to 10 men after 60 minutes. So we said that when we got promoted, we want to be competitive in every game, and I think we've showed that so far.
Now let's hear from Shell's boss, Damien Duff.
Damien, a good point or a bad point?
Bad point. Home or away, we always look to get three. First half, as bad as we've been, and I said last week, Drogheda, one of our worst results in the 4 years, the disappointment I felt off it. Well, tonight was probably one of our worst 45 minutes in 4 years. You know, you talk about formations and this and that. Sometimes it just comes back to energy and a real hunger and a desire, simple things in life. Are we still trying to find our way, our best team, our best formation? Yes, with new players in the building, people slowly coming back in after pre-season, but that aside, should be a given just to absolutely go at it from minute one, and we wasted 45 minutes.
It hasn't happened in a long time, but it felt, watching, that maybe that was the first half of football that passed us by.
Yeah, and I spoke briefly to the guys up there. Sometimes it's maybe hard to put into words what you can feel, but last week, Drogheda, and tonight, Darren, doesn't surprise me. I smelt it. I don't like the feeling of us. Don't like the energy, togetherness. How together are we? So, things that need to be looked at and spoken about, and maybe some home truths over the next 2 weeks, but for sure the international break has come at a good time.
The changes had an immediate impact, obviously. Evan Caffrey among the goals, great finish from him.
Yeah, well, I think players need to know as well, if you're going to waste 45 minutes at this club, you probably won't make the second half, but I would have took a lot more off. Well, obviously can't. Evan, yeah, just brought an energy, and he's a goal threat off the side. Even from the first ball, the tip off, I think Nepo double presses, even a tackle, pressing somebody can get the crowd up, and that was probably the loudest we got tonight, or gave the crowd to shout about tonight. Firstly the goal, and afterwards a couple of tackles, you know, just showing the crowd, showing the fans, showing the faithful that we want to win the game. And I never felt that really tonight. Off air, guys.
Two cleared off the line, I think it's Sean Boyd and then John Martin. Maybe if he looks back, he probably should have scored that with the keeper so far from his line, but he created enough to a different night maybe win it.
Yeah, of course, but if we'd won it, I'd still be going home angry and disappointed and worried about the group. So we didn't win it. So an added disappointment of dropping 2 points.
Conor Cairns is desperately unlucky. I don't know if you have a chance to see the goal back, but the flight's kind of changed by a little nick off. I think it's Paddy Barrett. And then you talked about that bit of flatness. Was it just flatness with second balls for a lot of tonight?
Well, even the goal, as poor it was at the 50th minute, you come back out, okay, you start half decent. I think we lose a duel down at the corner flag, cross comes in, okay, we clear, ball comes to us again, chance for it to stick, it doesn't, shot from distance. So listen, you can say, oh, nothing's going for us at the minute. You know, if you're going to mope around and start feeling sorry for yourself, you're at the wrong place. We're champions of this country, champions for a reason, and I think we all, myself included, need to start acting like champions. And you can't just turn it on like a light switch on a Friday night. It's doing it every minute, every day away from here. What you're doing, the darkest scene and the light. And this is what we're seeing.
You talked about embracing, breaking down a low block. Is that something that we still haven't seen tonight, rising to that challenge?
Yeah, I think, like you said, we've two cleared off the line. Another night, yeah, you win the game. But like I said, it's as difficult a thing as you can do, low block. But listen, It was a different prospect, I think, to last week. Drogheda was a low block, Cork, they jumped out, you had a press, they were aggressive. So a different pitcher. But listen, that aside, it's just the whole manner, the performance, and especially the first half at the minute is the real disappointment.
When you're struggling to put your finger on it, is that something you manage, or is that something you give the players the leadership to manage to figure out exactly why we are a little bit off in the last few weeks?
No, here, the book stops with me, so of course it's me leading the energy and desire and hunger of the group. I go in and they're having a meeting, some honest words between themselves, but we all need to back up our words. So moments like this, where there's doubt and you're off, etc., any line of work, it's just all about working harder and knuckling down. That's what we'll do.
I know you have the saying that if you can't win the game, don't lose the game. Like, I don't even, we haven't lost two games in a row here since, I think, August 2022. So the response to going a goal down, would you be pleased with that in some aspects?
Yeah, I would, but here, I'll go back and watch it again with calmer eyes, clearer eyes. But yeah, here we responded. We certainly, for sure, deserved to get back in the game, score the equaliser. Yes, you can say the chances, but like I said, if we'd won the game tonight, I'd still be going home very, very disappointed.
I know you had a disruptive week with illnesses and stuff. Could that be a part of the reason for low energy levels?
Absolutely not. Here, I wasn't given reasons yesterday, just in case we were flat today. I was just given an injury update. So, of course, one thing it affects is your training load. You need to train going into a game. But outside of that, no, everybody was ready to rock tonight. We had a full squad of 20 senior players. I'm sure people were worried about what's coming. No, we had a squad that's as good as anyone in the country to go and win the game tonight, so illness was irrelevant.
A big positive was getting Sean Gannon back on the pitch tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was good to have him back. And hopefully he stays back.
Thanks, Damien.
All right, that's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench and Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.